Yep. It's on.
Really? Okay.
Keep going.
This is Saturday, February 21st, 2015. It is 11:12, and I am convening the LSB meeting for KPFA. The secretary will take the roll as soon as Aki gets off the phone. Aki.
Okay.
We have a secretary who is sitting in for Craig Alderson, who's not here today. So Aki Tanaka will be taking the role. Aki.
Thank you, Aki.
Okay,
thank
here you go.
Thank you, Aki.
So with Craig, not here. Virginia, not here. Mal,
yep.
You're here. Edward, Ticket, Brian Edward Ticket, not here. Jose Luis Fuentes?
Not here.
David Gans?
Oh. David Gans is out.
Okay. Donald Goldmacher?
Not here.
Okay. Kate Gorn?
Not here.
Okay. Mark Hernandez?
Not here.
Cynthia Johnson?
Not here.
Janet Coburn?
Present.
Jack Kurzweil?
Not
okay.
here.
David Landau?
Present.
Yeah. Joy Moore.
Present.
Samsara. What? Andrea Pritchett. She's not going to make it, right? Adul Sawyer is here.
Present.
Frank Sterling is here. Kate Naka.
Here.
Uh-huh. And Ramses.
Not here.
Okay. Cal Travis is here.
Here.
Barbara Whipperman is here. Here. Burton is not going to be here, right?
Right.
Margie is here.
I'm here.
Rich is here. Okay, so one, two,
we have enough.
12.
12 so far.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 so far.
That's 11. Okay, so I am ruling that we do not have a quorum.
Well, oh, okay.
I counted 11, too.
It wasn't
13.
It wasn't
a quorum. Right, it's not a quorum.
Anyway, we do not have a quorum. That does not mean that we will not proceed and take care, do some things, but we cannot take any votes.
Point of information.
Yes.
So
Janet.
If two more members arrive, then we will have a quorum?
Right.
Okay. That's right.
Yes. Okay. So we cannot approve the absence or excuse the absences. Mm-hmm. We can't do that. And we can't approve minutes. We don't have that. And so we are going to go to the general manager's report. We can't approve the agenda. We can't vote. So
okay.
Go ahead.
Here.
Back path. Okay, okay. We can listen with extra intensity.
Yes.
Don't make me laugh. I'll start laughing through the whole thing. Okay, GM's report. I'm early in the agenda because I'm heading out to a wedding. So I want anybody to know that if they have any questions or issues or anything with this, you can always just email me, call me, or come to the radio station, and we can sit down, or you can buy me lunch. We can talk about it then. Okay, I want to go over the winter fund drive first. The final total as of 2/18, Barbara will have more updated numbers in her report. But so we were, the 2/18 number was 552,300. The total was short about 77,000 overall. Yet the feeling of the drive inside the station, and I believe with our listeners as well, was positive. We stuck to our promise to do a shorter drive. With coming on the heels of a holiday drive just 36 days prior, it's undeniable that everyone on the air and behind the scenes worked really hard to get to that total, including our fatigued listeners. in the long run, this will pay off for us, I think. We have a small dedicated listenership that has been, that we've been relying on very heavily for years, and we must build a larger audience through innovative programming and promotion on the air and especially off air.
Do we have a someone at the door because we have
The doors are open.
No, and I put a, if the doors get closed, I put a sign on the door to have people text me. And
okay.
I
no problem.
I charged right past it.
Thank you,
ma'am. This is the first fundraiser using the rollover service Telerep. And I'm happy to report that Telerep far exceeded our expectations in customer service, responsiveness, and troubleshooting. Although the drive was definitely not free of hiccups, every time we alerted them about an issue, they responded immediately and solved the problems for us. Again, our volunteer participation was spotty. Mornings were the most popular, yet most volunteers would disappear by 11. The participation, well, it remained light throughout the afternoons and into the evenings. In addition, many of the volunteers were our regulars, so even after running promos and on-air pleas, we failed to generate a new crop of volunteers. Needless to say, a volunteer coordinator could really help to remedy this problem. Despite this, a bright spot in the drive was the Grateful Dead Marathon put on by board member David Gantz. Once again, his efforts created a wonderful day of fundraising for listeners and volunteers. The entire day, the phone room had a steady stream of volunteers and remained full throughout the 19-hour time frame. Because of the incredible volunteer turnout, we only had one call that went over to the rollover service the entire day. We raised $38,000. Maybe it was the brownies. I don't know. Special thanks to all the board members that contributed to that matching fund, though, too. That really was very helpful. Programming. With 10 weeks before the next major fund drive, we have a bit of breathing room to develop new structures for communication and training to make us sound more cohesive on the air. Laura Privis, our new program director, will instate weekly editorial meetings, or I should say reinstate them, with daily programmers. There will be short meetings with a goal of maintaining coordination and planning of programming, working to increase on-air cross-promotion and exchanging ideas in creating new fund drive premiums. Hush, hush, hush person, hush. We're also planning regular board op training and fund drive pitching and premium hunting workshops. We need to update skills, knowledge, and training tools for the staff. Regular meetings, workshops, and trainings are one way to get the word out about how to make better radio. We need a cadre of competent people with updated skills and knowledge to keep the operation running smoothly and be able to participate in teaching new people coming into the radio station. We've had some turnover in the music department. Larry Besky, as you know, is now hosting a show called Piano, replacing Mary Berg's early morning music show on Sundays from 5 to 9. I'd like to take a second to say that many donations in the last drive were made in Mary's honor. Bensky's show did particularly well the last fund drive, averaging $4,300 an hour. Kevin Vance has replaced longtime KPFA programmer Robbie Osmond in the Across the Great Divide slot, Sundays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. This show also did well in the fund drive, with an average of $3,100. The PNB proposal. As ordered by the PNB, I had to submit two proposals to reduce KPFA's 2015 budget by $250,000. I also strongly noted that the cuts of that magnitude, if executed, would drain many of our vital services, talent, and programs associated with with Pacifica's mission, let alone KPFA. Make no mistake, this type of disruption will degrade our programming schedule, diminish our fragile morale, and eventually lose us more listeners. I agree with the PMB that cuts need to be made, yet I believe that we can get by cutting less. With applying strategic cuts, like the $42,000 we were awarded by the union with adjustments to the benefit package, eliminating a few support positions, creating off-air promotions, and stepping up our legacy and car donations campaign, with the addition of our new summer crafts fair in June, we could stay well within the framework of the budget without damaging loss in programming or credibility. Website. Among all our media allies, many are surprised to discover that KPFA isn't well known to younger listeners. But let's be honest, this is largely our fault. Not surprising due to the lack of marketing over the last few decades. It's time we address this in order to improve our chances of having the people's voices heard and their messages spread near and far in the Bay Area. Most students at nearby Cal have no idea where we are on the radio dial or online, though we champion many of their causes. Most poor people in East and West Oakland don't realize we have their backs when it comes to social and judicial injustices. They don't know who we are, but they support Black Lives Matter just like we do. Twitter is a major tool in communication in the Black community, and we need to be following every group that matters, and they should be following us. KPFA's restructured and retooled website is a step in the right direction to rectify our identity problem and get us connected to new listeners, especially the elusive 25 to 45-year-old progressive-thinking folks looking for a place on the media landscape to call home. And right now, with the website, we've had some problems in the back-end area trying to get the old to mesh with the new. And we finally think we're over the hump after, you know, we had to bring in a couple of other outside consultants to look at the back-end issues in the server. But we've turned that corner now, and I think we'll be able to launch in March. We're hoping to launch on March 11th. So we'll know more about that this week. But I thought it was time that, you know, we kind of go through some of the website for you guys. I wanted to give you a little slideshow on some of the stuff on how we came to come up with the new kind of logo and branding statements and things like that we came up with for the radio station. So let's take a look. If I can get my cursor to – oh, there you are. Thank you, pal. Okay. I don't need you now, do I? Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to show you where we're at now and how we got there. And quickly go through some of this stuff. These are the ones that we offered in the last drive. The bumper stickers. That's what the business cards would look like, stationery, so forth. Okay. This is what the homepage would look like. I'm actually going to show you a live version of this homepage at the end of this presentation. So you can see how things actually move, how things go up, how that page is like almost infinite. It just keeps going up and up and up and up. We have this here. The on this slide, you can't see the actual menu drop, but the menu drops there. There's everything on here you need. Video, Frank, you click that. Every video that's going on happens. If you have a live stream happening, boom, it's the first thing that you see. This gets people to join the newsletter. There's our Facebook and Twitter stuff, which is very important. It's also over here, too. You'll see on every page, every story can be Facebook or sent to Twitter immediately, just with a click. So, you know, if Flashpoints has a huge story that they're pushing that day, they can click it, and it goes on our Facebook page, and they can send it out to other Facebook people as well. Here you'll see whatever's on the air is always shown right here. Here's options on how to listen. You'll see this at the end when I go to the live page. I can open these up and show you. Here on the bottom, this teletype actually moves constantly. So this can be fed all day long. We can put news headlines on there. We can put information on there about promotions that we're running. We can talk about a story that's coming up on Flashpoints at 5 o'clock. You know, we can do all that stuff, and it keeps moving. These three you'll see the feature pages on this. This is a page of a show. This is Against the Grain, how it would look if they're featuring a story. The one right below it would be the day before. So you'd have a whole list of everything. Everything is archived. Everybody gets to put up their own backdrop, and they can put up photos. They can create the page and make it any way they want to. There are instructional videos that everybody will have and see that are very simple. It shows you how to upload pictures, video, anything that you want, a new backdrop, anything you want to do on your page to make it your own for the show. Here's like the history of Funk. You see where Mr. Vincent has his photo there. This is the backdrop that he selected, and there's just a list of some of the shows. every page will look different. I mean, some people will have actual content on their pages. Some people will just have a link to the archives. It's up to them. You can do as much or as less as you want. Featured archives, these will be, you go to our archives every day. It's all lined up. Everything will be there just like it is now. It's just a little better to look at because you got photos and things like that that are attached to the stories instead of just the lists that we have right now.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah. Can you let me, can I get to the bottom and then we
absolutely.
Can go through? Okay. Now, this is the donation page. Instead of when you go to the donation page now, you just have a list of all the different premiums. Now you actually have photographs that are a little bit more enticing. When you roll across it, a description comes up and tells you all about the show. You know, it'll say Naomi Klein, blah, 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 what it cost, the whole nine yards. And then as you roll down the page, as they roll down the page there, you can pick and choose what you want, and then it all adds up at the bottom. And at the bottom of the page, you can pay by PayPal or a credit card or whatever you want. But it gives us an opportunity to have them actually shop for a while before they leave the page. So, you know, they might spend more money that way. Okay, so let's go behind how this whole thing started. When the front group guys came in, they spent like 3 weeks coming in and out and talking to people here at the radio station. But then I made them go out on the street, as well as I did, too, to talk to other people. I wanted to talk specifically to younger people and target a lot of younger people. We talked to every youthful person in this building, all the interns and stuff that we could get our hands on. But we talked to they covered about 30, 40 people. We also had a link up on a website where we had a forum where people could write in and give suggestions about things. But it's interesting. I mean, if you take a look at some of the things that people said, these are all verbatims here from different people. You know, what's our strongest qualities? I think they kind of hit it pretty strong. I mean, you talk about the negative perceptions of the radio station, distracted by infighting, too wacky and funky, sloppy hip, all this kind of thing. These are all things that came out of people's mouths here. So what's the elevator pitch for us to be the left of NPR? All these kind of things are very, very useful in trying to design where we should go forward. So the brainstorm continues. We would have these brainstorming sessions, and these things would come up. What would we like KPFA to be in 5 years? You know, so people, these are some of the answers that people gave. They're pretty good, if you ask me. I think it's really strong stuff here. And this is the stuff we were able to start working around. Then we had to do the homework. So we had to go way back in time because this is not a disruption. We were not trying to take KPFA's logo and blow it up. We were trying to stay within the pocket of what we've been doing for all these years. We didn't want to run far away from our brand because it's very, very strong. It's a very, very strong brand, KPFA. The people that know it understand it. But we need to get more people to know it and stuff. So we went back and looked at all the different logos and stuff we used to come up with combinations of different things. So some of the things that people said we should do, we should always keep the design minimal. We should always have a human feel to it. It should have an increasingly avant-garde, innovative kind of feel at the same time, avant-garde. It should be loud and rebellious because that's what we are, you know. So all those kind of things should be there. But there was a few suggestions of losing the funkiness, you know, associated with us. Embrace more fun. That is true. There's a lack of fun when people think about the radio station. They don't exactly think about us as a fun place to go, even though 65% of us, what we play is music. So we should have a little bit more of that in there, too. And I think most importantly, the one on the bottom that says don't define KPFA by Berkeley alone, define it by the East Bay and the whole Northern California region with an eye toward Oakland. Oakland's increasingly the epicenter of radical politics and youth culture in the Bay Area. I don't think that could be disputed. So we wanted to incorporate a little bit more of that into the branding as well. So basically what you come up with, you take all those things, you have KPFA radical politics, diversity, content and community, leadership and community radio. Those are the things that we are. We put them all together, and you want to have something that comes in right in the middle that feels really well there. So the initial concepts we came up with for this thing started like this. KPFA. Okay, this is a little bit too Bolshevik and too Russian, but we did it. It came up, and a lot of people liked it. A lot of people didn't like it.
Right.
A lot of people thought that the letters should be connected. There was all kinds of good feedback going back and forth on it. A lot of people liked the numbers in the squares, making waves. Some people didn't like since 1949. They thought that would run younger people away. So the discussions went on and on and on. Trust me, it was crazy. So that's where that logo kind of falls in on the concept. Okay, so here's something with a little bit more fun to it. The backdrop is the Occupy the Port shot that we took. KPFA, the logo, 94.1 was very important to really start thinking about the frequency, because a lot of people can't find us on the dial. You know, if you listen to KPFA people on the air, they kind of stay away from the call letters. They kind of stay away from the frequency altogether. So that's something else that's a problem. You can listen to the Blues Show today, who's one of my favorite shows. He's going to be on there killing for 3 hours. Fabulous show. If he says KPFA more than 3 times, let me know. I'll give you $20. So we're working on things like that. Okay, so that was that logo, some fun elements to it. And a lot of people liked some of that. Okay, here's one that I thought was boring as hell. But some people kind of liked it, but eventually it died. But I knew they were trying to go for simplicity, not getting too far away from stuff. It didn't make it. You like that one?
Okay.
The picture's great, right? Yeah. And so the C concept is what that one is. And so that one kind of slid down a little bit, didn't do so well. So this thing here pops up as a remake after some comments and all the brainstorming of those two, where the 94.1 all of a sudden became in front because we need to get that identification on the dial. So and we flipped it, and all of a sudden people thought it was new. It was interesting to me to see people who have been here for years sit there and look at this and go, oh, I liked it. You really made it new. And I was like, not really. We kind of distressed the numbers and the letters. You know, you don't see an O and the P and the A and the 9 and that kind of stuff. I liked the little dancy guy over the 1. He caught my eye. I was like, what the heck? There's something there with that. But then, you know, it took a few more weeks down the line. But Concept D, that's what that was. But there was a lot of interest in that. So after revising the stuff, this thing kind of popped up, and we were like, oh, okay, that's a little still messy there in the middle, but I like that dancing fool. What is he up to? And then the headphones, because we want to try to do something with the music. The community power kind of came out of the language of everything people were saying. So we wanted something different, just a little different from listener power. So community power kind of presented itself and kind of stuck. So that's what happened with that. And then this guy. That's when this blew my mind when I saw this character that they came up with, because I said, do something with the dancing guy. When they put the megaphone in his hand, I said, that's KPFA. Actually, I thought, Dennis Bernstein. Look at Dennis Bernstein. That's him right there. I ran and I showed it to Dennis, and I said, what do you think when you see this? And he was like, what? I said, look at this guy. I said, who does he remind you of? He goes, it doesn't remind me. I said, it reminds me of you. He goes, no, it doesn't. Ah, yes, it does. Then he said, wait a minute. I think you got something there. So we started doing different designs on this guy and stuff. And then they laid out this first shot across the bow. And I said, okay, I see that. It's all right, but it looks like everybody else's website. That whole horizontal thing, I said, everybody does that. I'm not really impressed, so let's go back to the drawing board and come up with something else. But I like this. What are you doing here? And I'm beginning to like a little of these elements a little bit more. The photos are great. Okay, that's cool, but let's do it a little different. And so then we came up with this. Now, the original version of this was when it was black and white like this, and then when you rolled your mouse over it, the color would come in. And we thought that was fantastic and so trippy. And hit. Oh, yeah, that's cool. And then we liked the little guy over in the corner and so forth and so on. But it just didn't pop. So we went back to having the final design where we kind of came up with this. We showed it to a lot of people, and people really liked it. Everybody liked the distressed letters because it's a little old, shows that we've been around for a long time. You know, we got the activist guy in the middle. And those colors, the black, white, and red, kind of represent a little of that Bolshevik feel, anarchy that I still want us to have. But at the same time, it's warm. It's not too far away. It's not hurting anything. And then the community power thing on top. And I think it kind of works and says it all for us. And then we have it in different locations and stuff for different pieces of stationery, for pamphlets that we send out, for legacy things. We need to have it. We need to have a logo that can be mobile and it can be moved around in different shapes and forms. So now we ended up with all the pictures being in color on the homepage. You see what I'm saying? And we can put things up here. We can, you know, whenever we want to really feature something, we can put something right up on top all the time. Anything happens, we can do that. Plus, we have this teletype across the bottom here. Here are the different things. Here are the feature stories. You can click here. All the feature stories are there. You click here. You go to News and Politics. It brings you to every show that's under the News and Politics umbrella. Click here. It takes you to every music show. And here, culture. So, you know, you can get to whatever you want to get to very quickly. Okay. Let me see what else to show you.
Even if you've never been here
before. Even if you've never been there before. So this is like the style book and stuff that goes out to all of us here. It talks about all the – it breaks down all the branding and everything, all the color palettes, all the things that we need when we send things out for stationery and sizings and all that kind of stuff. Because every – like, you know, when you go to a page on KPFA in the news department, all the color palette turns to blue. And so when you go to culture, everything's the gold, and then you have the red, and then you have the green. So it changes things up, so it's never boring. And then there's the crazy pattern that you'll see occasionally on some of the pages and stuff. And it may be a default pattern on some pages where people aren't really paying a lot of attention to what they really want to put on the page, so we can have some consistency on what the look looks like. And that's it.
Great.
Yeah, when they came in, we took a lot of old photographs and of materials that were here, and we used them all the way through the presentations and stuff, and we shot, you know, putting a logo up against something old, so it makes it jump a little bit more. So anyway, but I want to show you one more thing before we – let me close this out. I want to get you to see the actual live – if I can find this cursor. Hello? Where are you? Okay, fine. Take you down to – here it is.
Who's that?
Who's that handsome
devil?
Okay, so.
Oh, there it goes.
There you go. See? Okay. So here, you go here, boom, programs, music, everything's there, archives, events, contact, KPFB. We gave KPFB their own little area. See what I'm saying? Now the page, featured story will be up on top, two other featured stories right below it. That way the programmers can fight over submitting their stuff as to what they're going to be doing on the shows. That's just going to be very competitive. That's going to be very good. Because everybody's going to be greedy. Everybody's going to want this slot. And so you got to go for it. So it's going to be fun. There's Dennis there, which is really why I thought this guy right here, when I saw it. Because this is what they were using all the time. Whenever they would send us in some new ideas of theirs, they always use this slide. And I kept seeing Dennis there, and then that whole thing. So that's how that came together. So as you see here, community support, this stays here all the time. You can click it, and it takes you to the history of the radio station. And then any events that are coming up, you know, Robert Shearer and all this stuff, all these things that are happening, the cab meetings, you know, Block the Boat, Frank, there you go, look, boom, boom, boom. There's the video from that that will always live there. You know, or any other videos that we have, they'll all be up there like that. Lost archives, you can go anywhere all the time. Click on any of these, listen. There's that pattern. And at the bottom, some of the other important stuff that we have to have. Sister stations.
Right. And that takes you directly to their website?
Uh-huh. Oh, so this is the actual site that's being worked on. People are filling in content. I should give some thanks to Antonio, Miguel, Richard Walensky has been volunteering his time to really help us, you know, his editorial skills from the Folio. So he's been really, checking spelling and stuff and actually helping us shape so we have like a signature voice on every page. Antonio and Miguel, of course, have been really knee-deep in this from the beginning. They've been going to meetings with me, with the website guys and stuff. We've had a lot of impact from everybody that's, you know, has a show that's come to us and talked about what they really wanted on the page and stuff like that. Everybody, I mean, everything, like the apprenticeship program, everybody will have their – there's nothing that won't be on here that represents the radio station. So I think it's an interesting look. I think it's something new. I think it will get the attention. More importantly to me, one of the things that I'm working on is trying to get money from foundations. So in my experience with MOCA and – in dealing with foundations, I have found that they're really website-oriented. So now we can present them a very new website, and they can see what we're trying to do. And I think this will really help us in getting our footing back in with some of the foundations out there, so that we can gather more outside funds for the radio station. So, okay.
I want to call attention to the fact that Jose Luis Fuentes and Cynthia Johnson have arrived, so we now have a quorum. I want to go forward with this, however, and then we'll go to the rest of the agenda and so on forth. I don't want to break this up now. That is my – so we're going to go forward. And Donald Goldmacher. And what? Kate Tanaka was already here. We are going to have a discussion, questions for Quincy. Jose Luis, Joy, and Janet. And he's going to leave quickly, so why don't we put all three questions on the table, and then you can answer them. And
first, I'd like to thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. It's beautiful. Yeah. Jose Luis.
Well, it was approved at $36,000.
Okay.
Oh, it's already been paid for.
Okay, so we're not doing what
but
I said.
But I must say, I should thank the Front Group Design guys. Two guys, Occupy guys, that started their own business. I actually worked with Tim, the head guy, when I was at Salon.com. That's where I met him. He was one of the design guys that worked with us at Salon. And he said he was leaving to start his own business. And when I went to the museum, they were the first guys I called. And they came in and did the one for the museum for MoCA. Fantastic job. And really worked out. And then that job got them the Youth Radio website. And so Youth Radio said to me, hey, how are these guys? I said, they're terrific. Go with them. And they built their new site, which is a really interesting-looking website, too, as well. So then I went back to these guys again. The reason is this. They only work with nonprofits. They're really into it. And they're very flexible. There was plenty of times when I couldn't pay them. And they just hung in there and waited and waited and waited with us, but they kept working with us too at the same time. And a lot of companies never would have done that. So I knew those were the right guys for us because they understand nonprofits. The money comes in, it goes out, it comes in, it comes out. And so thank God that they were, you know, those kind of people. So I'm glad we have that association with them.
All right. What I was saying was that Joy and Janet should both ask their questions before you answer, Quincy, and then you can.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay, Joy.
Thank you for your report, Quincy. First of all, I would like to ask, in terms of the volunteers in the room, you alluded to David Gant's ability to fill the room with volunteers. Well, they had food, and there was a personal touch out to them. And so just putting a card on the air is not all we relied on. So I want us to work on that.
I agree.
And also look at the job description of which you're referring to as volunteer coordinator. The food and getting the volunteers were always in the subscriptions department, and that job description has that in there.
Okay.
That's Jim and or Brooke. Then the other thing was I wanted to know how you made the decision for the program changes for Mary Berg.
Don't
and
answer.
I just asked him a question.
I'm telling him not to answer.
He can't answer that question?
He'll answer after he gets Janet because he's trying to hurry out, okay. And I'm trying to just
– And when you say that everything about KPFA will be on the website, will that include an outreach committee, the lab, the local station board, and the cab, too? Yeah.
Janet.
Shoulder cab.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Quincy. The website looks beautiful. I'm wondering where the LSB section is. I didn't see anything. I mean, it needs to be more prominent, I think. In any case, several things. One, when will you schedule your first staff meeting, the full staff? Second, you mentioned when it came to the website that you hired, so you brought in some outside consultants, but there's a hiring freeze, so I'm wondering how that was done. Regarding the budget, the PNB approved the KPFA budget with some provisos and an amendment, and I'd like you to address how you are dealing with those. I can spell that out if you need.
Yeah, please.
Okay. And finally, the financials that were presented here last month, there were lots of errors in the statement, and I had requested that the corrections be sent, and we never to the board, and we have not received them. So
talk to Raul.
Okay.
No,
so
this was from the local station board.
There's an updated one today.
Okay. So beginning with Joyce's question.
Go ahead,
Quincy.
Joy. Okay, I'll check the coordinator. All I'm saying is that we need somebody to work on those issues. And if you think that food and stuff is the answer, then, you know, I agree with you. You know, we'll try to do that. What was the other one?
The program change with the host.
What happened was that Kevin Vance had been doing it for a long time, filling in. And we couldn't find anybody else who wanted to get up at that time in the morning. And then he came to me and said that Bensky was interested in doing it. So then we called Bensky and chatted with him about it. And he had a great idea, the piano thing, and we thought it was great. And so we decided to go with him because of obvious reasons of his reputation and his name associated with the radio station. And I think it proved right off with the first time he got on, he raised $5,000. The first show when he went on during the fund drive, so
in
people were.
And
yeah, I agree. I'm not taking anything away from that.
Okay, I was just curious.
But
no, it's not an open process.
No,
when a major change like that, and then the ask was the website outreach and labs.
Yeah, all of those are on there. I mean, I just couldn't show you. They all have. They have to be on there. Yes, it has to be on there because we, you know, because of the CPB money and all that kind of stuff. Those are the kind of things that have to be on the website. So all that stuff stays the same. And they're all in prominent positions toward the end of the page where everything else is down there. I just couldn't show you the whole length of it, but it's all there.
Janet, I'm going to go back to you. Somebody asks.
We're having a staff meeting in the next week or two. It'll be in this room at 6 o'clock at night. And we'll be talking about the website because we have to show everybody some of the instructional videos and things like that. Those are the things we're going to be doing. We'll have an agenda to go over some new programming things that are going to be happening that we're going to try to institute. So it's going to be a very interesting and probably fun meeting. Oh, when I said outside consultant, I probably used the wrong term. I just used a server engineer that Yoshida already has, and so I just gave him more hours to help us. And what was your last one? I don't know about the financial thing you're talking about.
I thought he addressed some of the stuff on cuts.
But the general manager is responsible for the budget.
No, but I'm talking about the email that you sent. I mean, it didn't come to me, so.
Yes, it did. It was the message.
Could you talk onto the microphone?
Yeah. She's referring to the message that I sent to you about the provisos that the board put on your budgeting process, including considering cuts, management cuts, which you've already done.
Yeah.
And the I can't remember. Do you have the whole thing there? Yeah.
I thought he addressed this in his report.
Right. And Quincy, they have prepared two plans for reducing expenses.
Yeah, I talked about it in my report.
Yeah, which will be forwarded to the PMB.
All right, Frank, and then Cynthia. When are you leaving, Quincy?
As soon as Frank is done, or
and Cynthia, and Cynthia, and then
one.
We'll, you know, then you'll go. Okay.
So about the fund drive, I'm curious about if we're ever going to have like a $25 gift besides a bumper sticker, because I think there's a lot of issues about the pricing. One thing is Well, these two are kind of linked. I came in with a CD we got for free. We got 10 copies of a CD for free, and I went to Brooke with my little sheet. I didn't fill the price in yet. I was thinking maybe $40, $35. She instantly wrote 80 on there without even a question. So I'm kind of curious at how the process works to make a CD we got free to price it for $80 and to see if we can get rid of that at $80. We got rid of one CD, but we made $1,300. So I just feel like there could be the people that probably donated more were probably going to donate for us anyways, because we passed it on. You know, I had my mom, my dad, my sister, they all donated.
Awesome.
So, you know, we raised money, I think, in the other end, but I think if we can keep, like, the stuff we get for free down to a reasonable price, that we can get rid of that stuff. And I'm kind of curious, in the end, what is our main motivation? Is it paying for KPFA, or is it also to... In this case, it was only a music CD, but in other cases, it could be disseminating information. Is it our goal just to raise the funds or to get important information out to the hands of people that can make a difference at a reasonable rate if we're offering it? One example is the Sharon Strand Ellison thing. When we got the free download, we offered it for $25 the first time we used it. We made $800 in just $25 premiums for that download. The download cost us nothing. All we had to do was send an email to Sharon. She sent it to her guy, and they sent out a link, and that was it. But yet, when it got passed into the station, all of a sudden it went up to like $100-something. I'm sure it raised a lot of money at that level too. But it's an important thing. The reason she offered it to us for free was because she wanted to get out as many.
I think we've
as possible.
Got your point. Could you turn down your bass and also give time for Cynthia so that she can have a question too?
I think the point is, like, how's the process for pricing CDs or stuff like that going? Joyce, bring back the food to the phone room. I agree with that. I also agree with, like, the process, open process of getting, especially someone like Larry Binsky with his reputation, in, you know, to a spot like that. So I think the open process for, you know, certain times people will cry for an open process. Other times they're just like, come on in. So
do we have a timer? Is somebody doing the timing?
And then the summer crafts fair, I'm excited to hear about that, but I'm curious if that means like an increase in hours for that person or not, or if it's just the same. If it's, you know, curious about that. Also, I'd like to think how we could work the Twitter, which you're talking about, and link it to the KPFA stream Twitter, because an issue with the Twitter with Miguel is he only takes business hours, and a lot of stuff, you know, we have to get to him ahead of time, and he could like preload Twitter to do time release tweets, you know, because when you're out in an event, you want to tweet live in your stream what's happening, but you can't get that unless you have hit the person there that could tweet. So I think a way to get the tweets out when something's actually happening live, I think we need to work on that, because Miguel, like I said, is 9 to 5, doesn't do it on weekends. Okay. And a lot of events are on weekends. You want to tweet out live.
Yeah, we should talk about that.
So that, I want to talk about that now or later is fine. And then I think other people got everything else. That's it, I think. Just maybe later we can talk about, like, the more video stuff on the channel, but I'm glad that it looks good like that. Oh, yeah. I'm very impressed with it. Thank you.
Could you turn down the bass a little bit in this whole thing? I think it resonates. Could somebody be a timekeeper, please? Besides Margie, who's also getting the door.
Should I answer Frank's question?
Yeah, go ahead. No? But somebody, will somebody be a timekeeper?
So Frank, we should get together and talk about that Twitter thing. I find that very interesting, and we'd figure out a way to make that work. You're right about that, because there's something we're going to have to do to set something up for the weekend stuff, because that's when most of the action is happening. So, yes, let's sit down and figure out a plan for that. The Summer Crafts Fair, she's actually working as an independent contractor for the summer fair. So we're not paying her anything. It's on her. So it's a brave move on her part, but it's delightful for us, because we get the door. And I don't have to spend anything. She's carrying the whole load. God bless her. So it's a wonderful thing for us, and it's a great thing for Jan to do for us. It's terrific, and it really helped us out. The Binsky thing was, for all the obvious reasons, is why I pulled that trigger. I mean, yeah. No, I wasn't looking for an open. When I had that in my hand, there was no way I was going to pass that up. So I pulled the trigger on that. If you want to tie me up and beat me up for that one, okay. But, you know, I still think it was a smart move to do that. Am I missing anything else, Frank?
No, that's good. I can send you.
But we, yeah, please, and we'll work from there. Okay.
Cynthia, use the mic. Use the mic. Oh,
when is the estimated due date, or when are we going to launch this?
March. March 11th is that's the new launch date.
Louis, did you have your hand up?
No, I did not.
Okay, Rich, and then Janet.
I just wanted to ask, how does it carry over to, like, mobile devices like cell phones and so on? Because it looks kind of wide and busy.
The mobile thing looks great. I should have probably had that on there. But it really comes down. That was one of the better things that I really liked about the work. I wish we have our own mobile app, but we don't yet. And I don't have the money for that yet. So that's next down the line. Because everybody knows, I mean, there's a lot of our radio stations that are in the chain, like K in L.A., they're doing a lot of mobile fundraising, you know, with that just on your phone, $10, that thing, that mobile thing that happens with those apps and stuff. So I'd like to get in that game eventually, too, because everybody's carrying their phones. It's all about the phones. It's all about mobile. And the same thing for the radio station, listening to the radio station on your phone is going to be one of the things we're going to push a lot to.
We just have
to get people to change the culture as to what they talk about on the air. It's amazing here how the words Facebook and Twitter are hardly ever said, and not, let alone, KPFA.org. It's just important to get people to really get in that territory and really play, because that's where the new listeners are for us, I believe.
Yeah, we're going to have a break for people to eat because
we're not allowed to eat in here, but right. We're going to have a break so people can eat.
Water is okay.
It has to do with what the engineer thing. Okay, Janet.
Quincy, would you send your report to the LSB, please, and maybe also the slideshow? That would be really good.
No slideshow. I'll send the report.
Okay.
I'm not going to leak the look until it debuts. You only get the debut once, and I'm not going to blow it. And nobody's going to leak that sucker. That's why, no. Okay.
And when you schedule the staff meeting, would you notify the board?
Sure.
All right. And I want to note that Virginia Browning just arrived.
I was going to welcome Virginia Browning. David Welch has formally left the board, I found out late last night, and Virginia Browning, who is here with us today, is then moved up into the LSB, and Virginia just arrived. Welcome, Virginia.
Just unplug the one.
Don't unplug this because it's got to cool off with the fan.
I know. Yeah.
Okay, and pass me your microphone when it's easy. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, so now we have a quorum, and we had a roll call. Do we have a motion to excuse the missing members? So moved. Is it seconded? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. The agenda. You have the agenda in front of you. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda? One more agenda. There's a whole bunch of agendas, Don, on that table behind you. And I think the... Okay. And second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor, please... What? Oh, go ahead. You can't... Oh, you're not raising your hand. Okay.
Yes, so I move that item 14B be moved up, mm-hmm. since it's we really need to get to that. That's the PNB committee assignments, and I move that it be moved to be after item 10.
Okay.
After the PNB report.
Got it. Okay, is there a second for that? Okay. Any other changes? Okay, so let's vote on the... let's vote on the agenda with the change, the amended agenda, okay? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, so it's moved as a
point of information.
Mm-hmm.
You said there were going to be two breaks. There's only one break. When... Just curious.
I think we'll have a break when we need. We'll have a second break when we need it. How's that? Okay.
So the first break.
Right.
Does somebody want a break right now?
No.
Okay. I thought you looked like you wanted a break. Okay. All right. I hear you. All right, so we got the minutes, we got the general manager's report, we've got announcements. Joy, use the microphone.
I would like to make a motion about announcements. Can we do that?
What?
I would like to change it from announcements / comments because there's no space in the agenda for anyone on the board who may want to say something to say something that's not an announcement. Like, for example, I just was thinking about today what category this would fit in. I'd like to congratulate Frank and Greg and the other apprentices who did the live stream of the climate march. That's not an announcement.
Okay.
But you want to call it? Well, can we just call it a comment and give people
sure.
a minute if they want it to say generally something?
Okay.
All right.
Is there any second? Objection to that? Seeing none, unless Janet wants to make an exception. Or she makes
Point
wants
of
to make
information?
A comment. Yes.
Would this be just for this meeting or would
no.
be
no.
All along? Okay.
No.
Great.
Thank
okay.
you. Thank you. Just civilized behavior.
Okay.
Thank you. And I don't have anything else to add to that. I just wanted to make that space for anybody who wants it, right?
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I'll make a comment from the chair. That is that, and just to note that a number of slots in the community advisory board positions have expired and that it's our duty to look at that and so to put it on the next meeting. Agenda for us, and so anyway, and I'll take some steps to see to it that other things are done with those board members whose slots have expired. Frank. Who? What am I hearing? I'm hearing something.
It's the radio station.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Anyways. thank you, Joy, for the announcement about the March for Climate Leadership. I still would say I don't regret the move that I made to try to get KPFA to broadcast something like that because I feel, to use a climate pun, that the actual listeners were left out in the cold for the march because it was the largest march against fracking in the country.
Right.
It was so big that an hour and a half on KPFA would have been a bonus to the listeners. So I think that should have been supported more by staff and management. But we're already up to almost 500 views from the climate march. We're still learning how to do it and ordering some special materials to get sound from a board into a phone if we use a phone and not a camera. Just so you know, like right now, if you can see my computer or not, Greg Jackson is streaming live on the KPFA channel at Home Depot. In the event, Yvette, I'm blanking on her last name, the woman that got killed by the police at Home Depot, Yvette Henderson. So there's a live stream of the protest right now happening at Home Depot, and that is
okay.
Oh, is that my time? That's all I get?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, it's only a minute?
1 minute?
It's an announcement. There was no limits on the announcement. So.
No, we have limits on everything.
I didn't even make my announcement.
I thought it was 3 minutes.
Yeah, I thought it was 3 minutes, too.
What did you have? It was 1 minute?
I said one minute
because that's
what I said for comments. But
oh, no, this is announcement.
No, announcements is 3 minutes.
So anyways, I'll just do my announcement and I'll be done. But I'm so live right now on the KPFA video channel. It's an alternative stream for stuff that, you know, can be on. So I won't always fight for the time to have it on the air because it's an alternative source of broadcasting. But in important times like the climate march, I think it's important to do both. My announcement is the next big stream that we're going to be doing live stream on the video channel will be Thursday from the Berkeley Black Rep, and it'll be like a Black Lives Matter, Black History, Remembering Black History thing put on by one of the apprentices, Greg Jackson, goes by Junior Jackson on the air, who's actually streaming this right now. So you could tune into that Thursday around 6:30, 7 o'clock, depending on if we do some other stuff, but we're saying 7, but you could tune in early, might see something. So 7 o'clock on the KPFA video stream channel. And finally, the last one would be that in March, they're doing the first one Thursday from the Berkeley Black Rep. And then in March 4th, 5th, and 6th, they're going to have the biggest convergence at a military base, the Creech Air Force Base in Nevada, where they fly the Predator and Reaper drones. They're like the assassin drones over Afghanistan. And they're hoping for 200 to 300 people to go to that base and protest out there. And so I'll be video streaming from there, their morning vigils at 6 to 8 a.m. Wednesday and Thursday, and 3 to 5 p.m. Wednesday and Thursday, doing interviews on the spot with protesters. And then the big announcement on their big direct action, which they will do on Friday, people could find out by watching, or we set up a Twitter account called KPFA Stream. So if you follow KPFA Stream and something happens, we will be tweeting out to that, and you'll get an alert that you could tune in right now or maybe a couple days in advance. So anyways, I'm really happy that Quincy did the website, and I'm hoping that it'll work good with the Twitter and the live streaming, the alternative methods of broadcast.
Good job, Greg. Thank you.
Who was next, Janet? And then Don.
So it is, unless I'm wrong, there is going to be no LSB meeting in March, correct?
Correct.
So the next LSB meeting is scheduled for April 11th.
Don.
Yes, bringing matters closer to home. The city of Berkeley is undergoing massive redevelopment. Included among it is the planned demolition of the landmark Shattuck Cinemas in downtown Berkeley. In addition, a luxury 17-story hotel will be built on the current site of Bank of America on Shattuck and Center. If you drive down Shattuck Avenue, you will see a number of holes in the ground for new apartment buildings going up to increasingly house more and more students from UC Berkeley. So essentially, the city of Berkeley is being paved over thanks to the current administration and the city planning department and the enormous amount of private developer money that has come into political campaigns here in the city of Berkeley. Since we are based in Berkeley, I would hope that people who are listening to this stream would ask that the station begin to cover this issue.
I want clarification here on time. But not just from you, just from the board generally. How long are comments and announcements?
I made a mistake when I imposed a minute, which Mal heard. I did not know it was 3 minutes. It should stay 3 minutes. But I would just like to change it from either announcements or comments and still be 3 minutes, or both, but still 3 minutes. Is that okay?
Well, I don't know. That's up for discussion right now. If you're going to speak, you need a microphone.
Well, I had thought that comments had no limit, but or rather announcements had no limit. So please.
Right. Well, that's what I'm talking about.
What it is.
My understanding is a year or so ago, we voted that people can speak for three minutes,
that's right.
Period.
That's right.
And I don't know if that's just all board members or if that's anybody who's speaking, including public comments.
Yes.
Is that the understanding that everybody has?
Yes. Wait, good.
Yeah.
3 minutes on everything.
No, it can't be that. I mean, Quincy, for example, spoke for.
Oh no! Report. That's not a.
Well,
right. That's so, right, and also there, and somebody who's answering questions gets a longer time. But I'm talking about what we had established that when we're talking,
okay.
That it's 3 minutes. Okay, we all agree
okay.
on that.
Public comments.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So, Don,
the
guy gets another 2 minutes.
Yeah, I don't need 2 minutes. Just one at the most. So. If anybody is interested and belongs to organizations here in Berkeley, there's a group that called Save the Shattuck Cinemas Committee. Cynthia and I are part of that. And there are the friendliest way to get in touch with us is our Facebook page, Save the Shattuck. And we would encourage you all to alert your neighbors, because if those 10 screens go, then the economy of downtown Berkeley will likely go as well.
I have to leave. I'm having an incident with my eyes, which is an issue with my brain, and so I am going home. And so somebody has to take the chair. Who will take the chair?
Vice chair.
No, I'll be fine.
The vice chair is out.
The vice chair is out. The secretary, the treasurer, I don't know. The secretary is out. I think that means Barbara or somebody who can volunteer to chair.
Margie
will chair.
Move right up here.
Okay. Sorry.
Lord have mercy.
Okay. Yeah,
the chair. Don't take the chair. You got your
spoon. Yeah, thank you.
We need all these chairs.
Feel better.
Well, wait a minute.
Here.
You going to be okay to drive?
I have some eye symptoms that
pre-fluid
strokes that I have.
Is there an extra chair there?
No. Yes.
Where's the chair?
Yes.
Here, why don't
can I find? Sorry, this one.
There's
okay. All right. Are there any other announcements?
Margie?
Oh.
Go ahead, Cynthia.
Briefly.
Hi, Mike.
Oh, yes, thank you. I commend all the groups that are working on stopping the paving over of Berkeley because, as you Donald may have said, there's a group, Dwight and Shattuck, they're putting up 154 units for students where the old CIL was, not to mention. So if anyone hasn't been on the Facebook, you can also sign the petition to stop the demolition. And just a brief announcement on International Women's Day, which is Sunday, March 8th, at our UU Fellowship in North Berkeley. We have excellent films and the women's program, 1 o'clock on Mondays, is that? And other groups are working. KPFA, as always, helps us to promote these events like International Women's Day and a film series on Sunday, March 8th.
I'm sorry, Mark.
Go ahead.
I didn't use up my minutes. I just forgot a very important announcement. The KPFA First Voice Apprenticeship Program accepting applications and the deadline is very soon.
Next Friday, the 28th, I believe.
Friday the 28th. So get some people out. Let people know we have space for them. Thanks.
Great. I just want to make an announcement. Sort of follows up on Don Goldmacher's announcement. Those of us who live in South Berkeley have been found ourselves in an interesting dialogue with the city. The city appropriated $750,000 to hire a consultant group who is to consider improving the Adeline Corridor, which is basically Adeline Street from approximately Derby to the Oakland border. And that's where I live. And the curious thing about this for those of us who live in South Berkeley is that as long as South Berkeley was a relatively poor, predominantly African-American community, the city couldn't be bothered to fix the potholes, much less, you know, or put in enough streetlights. But because of the changing demographics in the area, now all of a sudden there's $750,000 just to talk about what the improvements in the neighborhood should be. It's really pretty disgusting. So I just want you all to be aware of that. We've already had a meeting that was set up by the Planning Commission that those of us who live in the neighborhood kind of derailed, and the Planning Commission and the city manager and the mayor were so embarrassed that they have apparently put out the word in the city that there will be no more public meetings about the redesign of the Adeline Corridor. Fortunately, our city council person does not agree with that and plans to call some public meetings. And so there's going to be some struggle in South Berkeley around the – it's the whole thing. It's the same thing. It's big money. It's replacing locally owned businesses. It's raising rents and housing prices so that the city will literally be completely unaffordable to people of no or modest means. Okay, that's all. Anyone – Janet.
Is this on? Yeah. Bringing up the fact that there are contract negotiations going on, well, supposedly going on, between the ILWU and the Pacific Maritime Association. And last weekend, longer than the weekend, the longshore workers were closed out. They were locked out. And so this is a big deal because it's not just Oakland, but it's the West Coast, and it affects commerce and all kinds of things. And they're trying to take away benefits that union members have, including a hiring hall. Anyway, so keep an eye on that, and I hope KPFA covers that.
Actually, I don't know what day it was this week, but Brian interviewed David Bacon about this very topic on Upfront. It was a fantastic interview, and I'm sure it's still in the archives, and I would recommend anybody who wants to hear a really informative background on the situation, listen to it. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. So we're done with announcements. Now we're up to public comments. You know what? Did we have a public comment sign-up sheet? Who wants to make public comments? Daniel, anybody else? Okay, somebody give Daniel a microphone. He's got... Robin, did you want to be on the public comment?
No.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so you've got 3 minutes, Daniel.
Yes, my name is Daniel Borgstrom. This is something I wouldn't normally say in front of the board, but I think everybody saw it happen, an incident this morning. I came in here and looked around for an agenda, and actually the agendas were on this table behind me here. I didn't see them. I didn't happen to look that far. I saw the agendas at the end of this table, and I took that one, and I saw another paper in front of that. I assumed incorrectly, apparently, that was also part of whatever's being handed out for this meeting. And anyway, I realized that this, that this was some embarrassment to the person sitting there. Apparently it was his private papers or something. I can understand that he took this as an intrusion. I still think, and a speaker was speaking, so it wasn't really appropriate to speak. It was kind of an awkward moment. Still, I think that what he did, the way he handled it, was not proper to just slap that in front of the table in front of my hand. I think it could have been handled in a way better than that. For my part, I apologize for what he perceived as an intrusion. It's not something I intended. It just did it. But anyway, I just wanted to say that most of the people here saw it, so I thought I'd mention that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. No other public comments? Okay, great. Thank you, everybody. So now we are at the treasurer's report, and we're 10 minutes ahead of schedule. Barbara.
Okay. Well, I will say, Janet, we don't have the statement from the CFO for the final 2014 budget. But what we have today is a statement again of the first quarter of the year that we're in that is had more data entered and corrections made. But that's something that I'm going to pass out when Hank Levy comes and talk about it just briefly, and he can use it then as the example. But what I have to hand out now for this part of the treasurer's report is two versions, statements that you've all seen in the past about the fund drive. The one that is breakdown by show. Take one of these and pass it on. And then, wait a minute, where is this? Oh, this is backwards. That's why I'm not looking at it right. And then this one is the one-page thing, and it's got a kind of new format that tells the type of money, you know, whether it's been you have enough of these for the guests. Yes, there's plenty of
there
these.
There are plenty of these, so the guests can get them as well.
One of them is 4 pages, and the other is 1 page. Yep, here's some more.
Here's some more of the 4-page one.
Okay, I'm going to say a few words about the 1-page one. I wish the light were better in here. This is not good for my old eyes. Yeah, right. Here. Okay. Now, I forget exactly what total Quincy was quoting, but we, you know, I think at the time that the drive ended on the 13th, it was 585,000. On this multi-page, no, not the multi-page, the 1-page. Why am I getting the wrong page? I didn't. Yeah, I gave away my own. The top left hand, the top column, the top near the top of the left hand column, it says 552,000. So the difference is money that has come in over the website after everything ended on the 13th. And if you go through the figures there by purpose, you add up the four categories that it has, those come to $552,079. And I think the first line, acquisitions, you may remember, is the terminology in our software for new members, our new contributors who have never contributed before. And if you follow that line all the way over to the right, that first line, acquisitions, 140,000, in the right-hand column that says at the top, pledge counts. So that was 1,001 people. I think that's pretty good. I don't remember what our others have been, and it might be interesting sometime to compare if we're moving up. But I felt as though my personal impression of the fund drive was there was it was very positive. I think that people were happy to be doing it and happy to be talking about it being shorter than usual. Anyway, those four categories add up to 552,000. Then by response method, the on-air pledging, the rollover calls that were taken, and then from the website, those three categories also add up to 552,000. When you get down to the installment plans and the sustainer plans, it's hard to get them to add up to that exact amount. And this is something that I got this report from Chris in the middle of the week, and it's something we would ask him about then to find out. I think it has something to do with the fact that some of the sustainer plan or the installment plans come in and they're counted somehow differently.
Are they on here? Sorry, is that on?
Under here, this.
Okay.
Yeah. In any case, let's go to the back page. Then it's the I'm still in this first column, the credit cards and the non-credit cards. You can see the breakdown there, the breakdown of people's donations who took premiums and those that did not. And then by gift size, we remain to have the most gifts coming in somewhere between $100 and $250. This is, there's not much more to say about this particular report, but if you, any of you have questions, and I'm going to take my questions to Chris Stelic about the making sense out of the installment plan and the sustainer plans at the bottom. Now, the four-page one is the one that is listing, it's kind of a combination by show, and some of these are by particular premiums that were presented, you know, they preempted programs and with things that they played more than once. But you'll see that, and the ranking in this particular report is for the pledge activity, the highest amount for any show is first, and then it goes down in amount. So the first show was Democracy Now for the total amount raised. The second one was Upfront. Third one is the Grateful Dead All Day item. But before we go further into that list, you should also look at the columns that say airings and minutes. In other words, these shows are not all on the same number of times or the same number of minutes. But the totals are what they made in whatever time it was that they were on the air. And this report is about pledges. This is not about how much of it came in on a credit card, so we already have it. That's the other report. The fulfillment rate, back to the one page, is in about the middle of the page. There's a column that says fulfilled. So at this point, about the total amount, the $552,000, has been paid. A little over 55% of it has already been paid. And as days go on and more data is entered into this system, that's the figure that's going to go up. And our experience is that we have about 89 to 90% fulfillment ultimately. So I don't know if anybody has questions. Yes, Janet.
Okay, you might have already mentioned this, but the goal for this, I believe, was $680,000. Is that correct?
It was $630,000.
Okay. So.
And it came in on Friday the 13th as $545,000. So there was $85,000 short on Friday the 13th.
Okay, and so. You might have already mentioned this too, but are these numbers on these reports based on money that comes to KPFA, or is it also include KFCF and
it KPFK? Includes KFCF, but it does not include KPFK. Anything that comes to KPFA that is zip code for KPFK just doesn't even get into these reports. It is recorded and transmitted to the other station, and they handle it. Yes, Frank.
I'm just curious about some of the things like the airings and minutes. I didn't do the math right off the top of my head.
Which report are you looking at now?
I believe it's the four-page one that breaks down, like, airings and minutes and stuff like
that. Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
So I'm curious if the airings include, like, rebroadcasting, because sometimes Upfront would be on the regular time, but then I'd hear it, like, later in the day. Do they count those airings? Because
I don't know.
I don't think so, because it says 14 for Upfront.
Well, you know what it says is, I mean, when they are on at some other time during the day, it's usually one of these brain change, like look down about six or eight lines.
Okay,
they're usually replaying some very popular item.
But does so that would count.
I'm not the expert on how this report. And if you want to
you know, figure this kind of thing out. I think Chris. Just having a little talk with Chris about how he arrives at this.
All right, so just so the for the record and people listening, I was just curious because I'm wondering if the airings and the minutes match, and then if so, do they include the rebroadcast in their total amount that they raise?
Because no, if it's a thing like the brain change rebroadcast, you can see that it's got four airings, and there is a certain amount of money that is allotted okay. to that. So that if it's played by Chris Welsh or anybody else, that's not in her total or Brian's total.
Just in that special.
Yeah, it's. And I, you know, they probably make momentary decisions when the things are put back on the air. Oh, put it in this category, you know, that sort of thing. It
finish.
Seems like I heard the brain change more than four times.
Thank you.
Uh huh. And Donald.
Yes, so these numbers are being generated within KBFA.
By Chris Steller.
By Chris. Okay. That's question number one. Question number two, do we have any idea where the numbers are right now?
This is the latest report. It was made this week. And there is no way to update it like five okay. minutes before our meeting.
All right.
Okay.
Now, the other question I have goes back to the meeting we had last month mm-hmm. where we got a set of numbers from you that was generated either in-house or from the national office. I'm not clear, which suddenly showed us with a dramatic surplus rather than a deficit. So where is that at?
That's a financial report. It's not – this is about the fund drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said a little while ago that I'm going to give the financial report out when Hank Levy comes,
okay.
and we'll talk about it briefly, and then he will use it to show us things. And it is extremely different.
Okay. What? Wait a minute. What's extremely different?
The total. The you said the...
from last month?
Yes.
Okay. And those numbers that were generated last month were generated within KBFA?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So.
Well, our business manager may... the report, and in fact there is data that she gets from the national office that contributes to, but it was a report about KPFA, and it, you know, for instance, the payroll is all handled in the national office. Is this, did it go off?
Yeah.
You guys want louder? I see. I'm
it's on
loud. So there's certain breakdown of the types of expenses related to personnel that she doesn't keep. We get back from the payroll records that are in the national office.
So part of the report that was generated is data dependent on the national office. And, okay, so then...
Most of it's here, though.
All right, so do we now understand how those numbers got incorrectly generated?
Well, you're not... taking to heart the category preliminary. And that's, I hope, one of the things Hank is going to be able to get people to understand. There are many kinds of financial reports. You've heard us talk about cash flow,
mm-hmm.
profit and loss, and balance sheet. And the one that is used the most commonly over and over and over again is a preliminary profit and loss or income and expense thing, because it's the way the accounting people look at their records and say, okay, this looks like we need to find some more data here. Something is wrong. And so when you're given this, and we have an unusual set of circumstances here, the way we do this budgeting and stuff, we have these statements where we put budget columns in, and we're always measuring against the budget, which is the plan we made at a certain time, how we're doing. All profit and loss statements don't always do that. And so I think it has it's useful, but I think it has encouraged some people in our group to think as though the budget is a contract, and we have incompetent people taking care of things when we can't match the budget. And really, we don't. We don't have incompetent. Woo.
Sorry.
we have very competent people working on this. You just have to recognize that it isn't going to be a final statement every time you look at it.
So maybe we shouldn't have preliminary statements.
It's common in all of accounting. That's the way they do it. Well, yes, we do. And Virginia, I think you had a question.
You said fulfill.
Microphone.
Oh, sorry, where is it?
Oh, she'll have to use this one. It's way down here.
Can't you? You can.
You can pull it out.
Just pull it out.
Pull it out. Watch the bottle.
You said fulfillment rate, and I'm just looking for that comma. Is that pledge activity, or where is that on here?
It's the single sheet, and it
okay.
is fulfilled.
I see.
Right about in the middle.
Okay, thanks.
Yes.
Yeah, so I believe the last fund drive, I don't know what it was called, this in 2014, also came in short. And so we have two fund drives in a row and that are really short. So can
well,
you address that?
I think you have to allow for the two-week period, I think it's about a two-week period, that is still considered, the income that comes in the website is still considered listener support, and it is associated with the fund drive. So even though on that day we had not achieved $630,000, we're getting closer and closer to it with the money that's coming in. This report was run on Wednesday, I think. And so I know it's different by now. We just don't – it takes something to put these reports out. We just can't go and press a button on the computer right now and see what the latest is.
And
so I don't think it's dramatically under. That's what I'm saying.
On the last fund drive, we okay. Sorry, audience. There's flying microphones around here. On the previous fund drive, the one that ended sometime in December, as I recall, by the time the two-week period was over, we, in fact, had
exceeded
our goal. So just so that that's clear.
That's our history.
Yeah, and that's sort of that is kind of the history. Frequently, when the fund drive ends, we have not made the goal, and we pick it up in the 2 weeks afterwards. And the reason that we know that money that comes in for 2 weeks after the fund drive is over is actually driven by the fund drive is based on the premiums that people ask for.
And, of course, on air, you know, the hosts are reminding people to they can still donate and that the premiums are listed there. Mm-hmm.
Barbara, fact, what Margie, what you just said was that there was no shortfall on the previous fund drive when you take into account the monies that came in afterward. I think that needs to be heard by everybody who listens to this stream.
We've said it many times.
Well, but somebody
incorrectly
stated the facts before Margie.
Well, so, it is true on the day that it ended.
Understood.
We hadn't achieved that. But we count the 2 weeks afterward as still income.
I understand.
Okay. And actually, you know, in the accounting statements, we have a different category for listener support. It's got one account number. And website income has a different account number. But this is also something that's been said many times. All of the website income that comes in during the period of a fund drive is not put in that category, accounting category of website. It's put in the category of listener support, the same as any phone call through the website. They're all considered in that accounting category of listener support. You don't see those here because that's not the kind of report this is. Yes, Janet.
So the goal versus
the total pledged, I guess, is what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So the total pledged has come up to reach the goal. Is that what
not,
you...
Not
we don't know
not
yet.
Not currently, right, but in the last one. But what about the fulfillment of the...
That is also something that would show up when Chris runs a report
right,
like
but
this.
For the last fund drive...
I don't know off the top of my head, but I do know historically our amount of fulfillment is about 89 or 90%, which is pretty high. In fact, I'm not sure. I think maybe it's better than the other stations.
Could we get a report for the next
They're,
meeting?
Oh, it's always of, in these.
No, for the next meeting of the December fund drive, the
by the time
the updated an updated report, and also one for this. Could we? I'm just requesting
yes.
that we get
okay,
not just the current one, but the previous
by the
one.
Next meeting in April, things become pretty distorted, as I understand it, as far as being able to identify what is coming in just from that fund drive that just occurred because of this. People pay pledges that are maybe 2 years old, and Chris has them in the records. He'll look up the person, and then that pledge would be paid that might be 2 years old, and it'll show up as listener support, but you can't really tell that that little piece was from some other. The best picture of the a fund drive is within about 2 weeks or a month. But and we won't have another meeting until April. So I suggest that what I would ask Chris to do is not only wait for the 2 weeks, but wait for two more weeks and have us have a report that we could send out on email.
And what about for the December one? Could we have one that was run back then, 2 weeks later
I'll have
or
to
whatever?
See. It changes. I can't. He can't go back and recreate something in from a January date. No, he can't. I've asked him before. Yes.
I move we end the Treasurer's report and go to break.
No yeah. objections.
All right, so you can't eat in this room, but you. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's not important.
It's not important.